Morning, everyone. Bible reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 6. It's on page 1098, and I'm reading from verses 1 to 15. Choosing of the seven. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert from Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen ceased. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We've heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw his face looked like the face of an angel. This is God's word.
Hi everyone, my name is Rachel, and I've been at All Saints for nearly 10 years now, and I'm on the staff team here doing Christians Against Poverty, on the Christians Against Poverty team, and I do lots of other things. My official title is Urban Minister, whatever that means. I also still don't know, but I do various things. Sometimes you could receive an email from me chasing you to do your DBS, to bring your ID for me to complete your DBS check, and several other things. Sometimes you'll see me on the check-in table, checking in your children. But yeah, I'm glad to be speaking to you this morning. I also have a two-year-old. Nearly three, Emily. She teaches me a lot, and God speaks to me a lot through her. The most recent was when we were on the bus the other day. Me and her and Ronnie, my husband, we listened to her and allowed her to convince us to sit upstairs on the bus when we only had four bus stops from Peckham to our stop, and it was rush hour, the bus was full up, but we still listened to her, and we went upstairs, sat upstairs with her, and just four stops later, when it was time to come down the steps, Emily looked at her daddy and said, "Don't touch me." She didn't want anyone to carry her down the steps. She wanted to do it all by herself, and everybody who was getting off had already come off. The bus was full, and she was not letting us touch her, and she took her time down the steps. But people were so gracious. Everyone just looked at her and just allowed her to come off. And then she said, ready, steady, jump. And she jumped off the bus. And she's just teaching me that you don't have to worry about what people think of you. As long as you have a mission, just go ahead and do it. So we are continuing with our sermon series this morning, Switched On, the difference the power of the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. And we are still going through the book of Acts. And today's topic is empowered with wisdom. What it means to live a life full of the Holy Spirit, empowered with wisdom. Let's pray as I begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your presence. For where two or three are gathered in your name, you are here. We just thank you for this moment and for what you're going to speak to us this morning. We pray that our hearts will be open to receive what you have for us this morning. May you take the words that I have brought this morning and use them for the glory of your name to each one of us that is here. Come and have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Acts chapter 6 begins by introducing us to a complaint that was going on within the disciples when their numbers were increasing. And they are referred to as disciples as they were all believers who were growing together in their faith and so had formed community as they grew together. So they were disciples. And they had increased in number, and now the old way of managing the distribution to those who had need, the old way of doing that was becoming increasingly difficult. And so wisdom was needed to solve the conflict that was then going on amongst them, especially amongst the widows. And we are told that the disciples, that the apostles, who were their leaders, told them to look for people who are full of the Holy Spirit to be appointed for the role, for this role of distribution, so that the conflict can be resolved. And the people to be selected, first of all, had to be full of the Holy Spirit in order to have and use the wisdom that was needed to solve this conflict. And so seven people were selected, Stephen, one of them. And the passage doesn't tell us how the complaint was resolved, how these guys came up with a solution. But we are told that as a result of applying this wisdom, that the word of God spread. The number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith, all because godly wisdom was used. So in today's passage, being filled with the Holy Spirit is an essential criteria in order to do whatever we are being called to do in God's kingdom. This is because through the Holy Spirit, we will have the godly wisdom needed to solve both the hardest and the simplest of tasks. As this then leads to growth, it leads to our growth in different ways, just like it led to the growth in their time. So what are we to learn from this passage today? Firstly, I believe that one of the things that God would like us to be reminded of this morning is that God would like you and I to be full of the Holy Spirit so that we can tap into the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. First of all, when you hear that statement that God would like us to be full of the Holy Spirit, when you think about that, you straight away think that the Holy Spirit is not for me. The Holy Spirit is for Jenny, for Jonathan, or for anyone that comes up here. I will just carry on doing life the way I always do stuff. But this is what God is saying to us today, that the Holy Spirit is for you too. That God created you to have the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So not only did God create us, not only did he create you and me, but he prepared in advance, while we're still being created, he prepared in advance the good works that we are meant to do. He knew before we came into being what we're meant to be doing. And so we definitely need the Holy Spirit to guide us in what we should be doing in life. His intention for both you and I is to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we go about our daily lives. And even though it is God's intention that you should be filled, God is so loving that he will not force any one of us. He will not force the Holy Spirit on any one of us. We have got to ask for him, and we've got to receive, and God will faithfully give the Holy Spirit to us when we ask. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, that Jesus says that if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And before that, Jesus says in verse 9 of Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now just take a minute and just imagine yourself in a dark house in a very, very sunny country. Constantly sunny country, 24 hours a day. Just imagining. It might be easy for me to imagine this, having grown up in Uganda. It wasn't sunny 24 hours, but it was more sunnier than it is here. But one of the memories I have of my room is that it had really thick curtains. And if you don't open the curtains, the only way you can get light in the room is when you switch on the light. And now that I pay my own bills, I know why my father used to go on about us switching off the lights when it was daytime. We always had to open the curtains to let the light in so that the room can light up. But just imagine yourself in this dark house, which is in a very, very sunny country. However much I wish for the light to come in, it won't come through. Even if I switch on the television and watch other people having really well-lit houses, still, my house will not light up. Unless I take the step and draw the curtains and open the curtains, then I will be able to receive this beautiful warm light coming in from the sunshine, and then my house will light up. In other words, even though the sunshine is shining on this house, whether the curtains are closed or not, the sunshine will carry on, but the light will not come through unless you open the curtains. This is just a thought, a picture that God gave me about him giving us the Holy Spirit, that God has already provided in abundant measure the Holy Spirit to us, whether we are aware of it or not. We just need to rise up and open the door of our hearts and let the Holy Spirit come in. That is just so amazing. It's amazing that God doesn't want us to do life on our own. But he has provided for us in such an amazing way with the Holy Spirit. We who don't deserve it, yet he has provided. We were destined for destruction, but he provided for us through giving his one and only son to die on the cross, conquering the enemy, so that we can live our lives victoriously. The gift of the cross. Billy Graham, the great evangelist of all time, says this about the cross, that the cross doesn't just suggest, but the cross demands a change in heart and a change in lifestyle in all of us. Come as you are to this invitation, but don't stay as you are. For when we come to him, When we come to him, then we know who we truly are. We know that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We don't get to know who we are in the presence of people, but we get to know who we are in the presence of our God. And when we know who we truly are, we shall deal with life differently. For who we are is not what the world says about us, but who we are is what God says about us. And he says that in Christ Jesus, you and I are more than conquerors. He says that you and I are co-heirs with Christ. In other words, what Christ will inherit is what we shall inherit. He says that we have the authority to trample over snakes and scorpions. That when we feel fear, when we are facing different challenges, we shall carry on facing it, being aware that we are with him in all of this fear. It's all found in God's word. All that God says about us is found in his word. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. He will speak only what he hears. The Holy Spirit of truth will guide us in all truth. He will explain to us what God's word says. So you and I don't have to first understand how it all works out before coming to him. We can just come to him, receive the Holy Spirit, and he will help us understand what it's all about and how we receive God's word. Secondly and finally, this morning, God wants to highlight to us that in all we do in our day-to-day lives, we need godly wisdom. We need godly wisdom in everything that we do. Whether you are a student, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, whether you have a 9-to-5 job, whatever our Monday to Sunday is, we need godly wisdom as opposed to relying on human wisdom. Like I mentioned at the beginning about Emily, one great example of people who really freely use godly wisdom are little children. No wonder the Bible says that let the little children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They don't really care what the world says about them. They know that I have a mission, I have to accomplish this, and I'm going to go and get it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. When we rely on our own wisdom, we miss out on what God has for us. The disciples needed wisdom on how to sort out the food distribution to the widows, which maybe to us it might seem like that was a very simple task. You could just come up with a plan and resolve this situation. But when it was approached with godly wisdom, we are told that there was growth as a result of applying godly wisdom. We also read about Stephen. He needed godly wisdom when he faced opposition. For God gave him the right words to say when he faced the opposition. In our reading today, Acts chapter 6, verse 10. "These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke." And as a result, in verse 15, we are told that when he was falsely being accused, we are told that his face was like the face of an angel. I wonder what you and I do when we face opposition, or when we are offended or hurt by people close to us, or by people who we look up to. I remember whilst still in Uganda about 13 years ago, myself and two of my really good friends, who we had great jobs at that time because we had just finished university. And we wanted to move into a three-bedroom shared house. And I know that after having been here for nearly 10 years, I know that parents would love that idea of the child to move out because then it reduces on the parents' household costs. But not mine. As soon as I mentioned those words to my parents, they were like, a lady can only leave her parents' house when she's going into her marital home, when she's going to get married. So you're not going anywhere. I wish I could say that after hearing these words, amongst all the other words that were sent to me, I wish I could say that my face was shining like an angel. But in hindsight, godly wisdom would have been that I should have first taken this plan to God before even agreeing with my friends. Godly wisdom should have been to take my plan to God as opposed to first carrying out the plan and then asking God to bless it. If you and I often find ourselves in the habit of making plans and then asking God to give us wisdom as we carry out these plans, perhaps today we are being reminded that it ought to be the other way around. We ought to seek first God's wisdom, what his plan is for what is before us. For God's ways are not our ways. For his foolishness is wiser than our wisdom. He knows best. He knows the beginning from the end. And it doesn't matter if you feel like you have fallen too far away in that he can't grant you his wisdom. You cannot fall too far away where his arm cannot reach to rescue you. The arm of the Lord is not too short to save us. I'd like us to turn our Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. That's on page 1213. James chapter 2, chapter 1. Reading from verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. God pointed me to this when I think about wisdom. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. And if we lack wisdom, we should ask God, who gives without finding fault, and he will grant us what we need. And then when we ask him, we should not doubt, but we should believe. We should not doubt, but we should believe. Just like Vanessa shared beautifully earlier, asking specifically and believing and not doubting, and God will grant it to us. I'm also reminded of the story of Moses, as I conclude, in the book of Exodus. After Moses had grown up in the Egyptian palace, this story is found in Exodus chapter 2. After he had grown up in the palace, him being an Israelite, but grown up as a prince of Egypt, His eyes were then opened to the injustice and slavery that his fellow Israelites were experiencing. And Moses decided to take matters in his own hands because he wanted to help and rescue the Israelites in his own hands. And we are told that when he did this, this turned him into a murderer and someone who was rejected by his own people and someone who was wanted for murder by the Pharaoh. In that he fled Egypt and went away. You can read this whole story in Exodus chapter 2 and Exodus chapter 3. But just want to summarize it about what happened to Moses afterwards when he was on his own, looking after some animals. He had an experience where God appeared to him in a burning bush. And God empowered him. God gave him the wisdom he needed. God told him that he needed him to go and serve his people. Because now God's timing was right. Even though Moses had so many fears about how he would be received if he went back, Moses needed to first encounter God for God to equip him with everything he needed, as opposed to what he had done before. Encountering God ought to come first before we launch into our plans. You and I need to first encounter God. What is God saying about what we want to do? Are we chasing after the calling where we want to serve, as opposed to first encountering this God who wants to fill us up with what he has for us? We ought to first encounter him through his word. The way we encounter him is through his word. Let's indulge in the word of God. Let's feed on the word of God. There is no shortcut, but it's about studying and knowing the word of God for ourselves. For then we shall get to be confident of who we are as sons and daughters. We shall be confident of what God says about us. For the enemy out there knows who we are. John chapter 10 verse 10 says that Jesus comes to give life abundantly, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we don't take what belongs to us, he steals it and takes it away. But we need to know who we are, not so that we fight the enemy, but so that we are equipped with who God says we are, and take hold of what belongs to us. For the enemy was already defeated by Jesus at the cross. We need to know who we are so that we can live the life that God has for us, so that we don't miss out on what God has for us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit for us to be able to be equipped to do this in our daily lives. I would like to invite the band back, please. I watched an interview the other day of a movie that was released in America last year around Easter time. I think it's titled The Resurrection. It's based on a true story. And because I saw that it was based on a true story, I wanted to find out what the true story was. Because the movie is about a teenager playing on a lake that is covered with ice and the teenager falling through the crack and him being rescued out, but they thought he was dead, but then he survived. And so I looked up the interview of the parent that this happened to. And the mother was being interviewed in a church, and she was saying that it all happened when she was part of a women's Bible study. They were doing a Bible study of a lady called Beth Moore. And during that Bible study, they had been studying about the Holy Spirit and the authority she has, the authority of speaking the word of God over your situation and calling to life what everyone says is dying. And it happened during that week when they were having that Bible study. So it was echoing in her week, in her day, throughout her week. And this incident happened. She gets a phone call one morning telling her that her son has had to be rushed into hospital. Her teenage son, who was a really good basketball player, but had been playing on a lake of ice and had fallen into the gaps. And the firefighters had rescued him from the ice, but he was named dead on site and taken into hospital. But because she had the echoing of that, of the study she had been doing in the back of her mind, when she came into hospital, this is a true story, she held her son's feet and just at the top of her voice called upon the Holy Spirit to bring life back into her son. They were waiting to tell her that the boy was dead, but after hearing what she said, they waited for 2 minutes and they got a heartbeat. They got a heartbeat and the boy came back to life day after day, and eventually he recovered and he went back into playing basketball over time. And I was watching this testimony of her and her son sitting there sharing this testimony of what had happened, and I was just really amazed at what the power of the Holy Spirit is, what we have at our disposal as Christians when we dig deep into the Word, because we have the Word of God at our disposal, but it's up to us to open that door by starting and knowing it for ourselves. I'd like to ask us to stand up and I'll pray for us this morning. I'd like to pray that this morning we would come to know God for ourselves, a God who is always there, and receive the Holy Spirit so that our true identity of who we are as sons and daughters of the King of Kings is called out. And I'd also like to pray for anyone here who needs God's wisdom in any particular situation that you're facing. So could I ask us to all just close our eyes and just receive what God has for us. But if you'd like wisdom for anything, I'd like to ask you to raise your hand right now, so that I can pray over you. Thank you. Oh Lord, how great is your love for us. How great is the love that you lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. For everyone who believes in you, God, you, Father, give them the right to be called sons and daughters. And so we stand here together as your sons and as your daughters, asking you to fill us up this morning. Fill us up this morning, oh God. Lord, for anyone right now who is asking, anyone who is seeking, anyone who's opening that door right now, oh God, would you fill them up right now? May they not leave this place the same way, but may they know that they've been touched by you. Lord, I thank you that you give wisdom to those that ask for it. You give it generously to those that ask for it. Father, I pray for anyone here right now, I pray for the people who are raising their hands right now, in need of your wisdom, in need of your guidance, in whatever they are going through right now. I pray that you will grant it, you will grant that wisdom that only comes from you, that only you can do. Grant that wisdom to them right now. Thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.